I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica. And this is All Things Sensory by Harkla.
We are both certified occupational therapy assistants, and together with Harkla, we are on a mission to empower parents, therapists, and educators to help raise confident and strong children of all abilities.
On this podcast, we chat about all things sensory, diving into special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, overall health and wellness, and so much more.
We are here to provide raw, honest, and fun strategies, ideas, and information for parents, therapists, and educators, as well as other professionals to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome to All Things Sensory by Harkla. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica. And today we're going to talk about interoception. But before we jump into this topic, we want to let you know or remind you that we have a digital course on primitive reflexes. We are very passionate about primitive reflexes because they are like the building blocks, the foundation for higher level learning, for higher level movement patterns. And when children have unintegrated primitive reflexes, or adults even, then their life is just a little bit more difficult. They have extra challenges with school, more challenges with daily life tasks. So we're very passionate about spreading the word on primitive reflexes, how to test for them, how to help integrate them, and that's what we teach you in this course.
You can find it in the show notes. We have everything linked there. So after you listen to this fantastic episode, check it out, head there, and you can find it.
We wanted to share a couple of reviews with you from people who have taken the Primitive Reflex course. So just really quick, stick with us. We got a review from Marissa, and she said, "I'm a chiropractor and I'm applying this information daily in practice. Such a great resource and I can't recommend it more. Can't wait for more courses." Thanks, Marissa.
Oh, that's great.
Dan said he would highly recommend this course. Not only is the course easy to follow, the information is extremely helpful and already making a difference with our kiddos. So just wanted to share that with you, just to let you know that people are finding this course helpful, and we hope that you'll check it out and can benefit from it as well.
So way back in 2018, we did an episode on interoception, kind of the basics, and we wanted to do another episode on this topic because, number one, how often do people actually scroll back to the beginning of our podcasts and listen to those ones? And number two, we wanted to share some updated research and activities that we have learned in the past 4 years to create a new episode.
Yeah, interoception was like one of our first ones that we did, I think.
I think it was episode 19.
It's like the top way up in the first 20.
Yeah.
So just within the first couple of months of us recording.
Yeah, we've come so far.
We've gotten a lot better since then. All right, what is interoception? It is one of your eight senses, and we like to say that it is the most hidden sense. And looking at some different research studies on interoception, they're finding new things about it all the time, and it's just kind of starting to pop up into the literature.
Mm-hmm. So what is interoception? It is the perception of sensations from inside of the body. That includes perception of physical sensations related to internal organ functions, such as heart rate, respiration, whether you're full or hungry, as well as the autonomic nervous system activity related to emotions. Holy cow. Yeah. Did we just talk about everything that kids with sensory processing disorders struggle with?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yep. So think about when you're anxious and maybe your heart is beating a little bit faster. Maybe your palms are sweaty. You feel hot. That is all related to your interoceptive sense.
We actually did find a research article that talks about anxiety and depression and the connection to interoception. It's a long article, so we're not going to obviously go into all of the details here, but we'll link it in the show notes as well so you can check it out if you're interested.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the main things that are related to interoception, just kind of breaking it down into layman's terms, right? So hunger and thirst, so those hunger cues, knowing when you're thirsty, but also knowing when you're full, when you don't need to eat anymore.
Knowing when to use the bathroom. So, you know, a lot of our kiddos will struggle with potty training. They'll struggle with holding their bowel movements and knowing when to use the bathroom. Maybe they're like, I have to go to the bathroom right now. And they hardly make it because they wait to the very last minute.
Which I will say that is a pretty typical thing in childhood.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty common for most children to actually go through that because they're so engaged in what they're doing that they don't want to leave. Logan has definitely experienced that. So I will say that is a thing, but it becomes a challenge when it happens all day, every day.
Yes. And it never like really improves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Understanding temperature and the ability to regulate your temperature. So understanding when you are too hot and you need to cool down, or when you're cold and you need to warm up. And then just even your body's natural ability to regulate your temperature in the changing environments.
Yep. Going along with that, feeling sick or unwell or uneasy, just not feeling content and being able to recognize that. Maybe being able to recognize that your stomach hurts and maybe identifying why it hurts. Are you anxious or did you eat something that doesn't agree with your stomach? Or maybe you're hungry. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reasons for feeling sick.
And then emotional regulation for yourself, as well as understanding the emotions of others. So really that emotional intelligence piece, understanding how your body feels when you feel those emotions. So the example I gave about anxiety, but also understanding how it feels to be angry or happy or sad, and then understanding when others feel that way as well.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, like we mentioned already a little bit, a lot of kids with sensory processing challenges, a lot of adults with sensory processing challenges do struggle with processing and modulating this sense in the way of not feeling hungry or thirsty. They never feel full, difficulty, or maybe just completely unable to toilet train, regardless of consistent trials and attempts beyond the age of six.
Yeah, not knowing when they're ill or not understanding and associating feelings of illness with what it actually is, but maybe associating those feelings of illness with something else. And then poor emotional regulation skills and poor social emotional skills.
So we are here today to give our top five activities that you can do with your child, your clients, or your students to help them better understand this eighth hidden sense.
I think number one, before even these five activities, is just to teach your child about their body, mm-hmm. right? To talk about what it feels like to feel different emotions, what it feels like to be hungry, knowing like, hey, you haven't eaten for 3 hours. Do you feel like you're hungry? Mm-hmm. Hey, you haven't gone to the bathroom in a couple hours. Do you need to use the bathroom? How does that feel in your body before you go to the bathroom? How does it feel in your body after you go to the bathroom, right? So really just talking about those internal sensations and feelings so your child can understand what they mean.
Yeah, if they don't ever learn these things, how are they going to ever learn these things, right? So if we don't...
Did you hear what you said?
Yes, oh, okay. I did it on purpose.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I was like, wait, what was that?
But honestly, if we don't teach them, if they don't have an opportunity to learn these feelings about their body, then how are they going to learn them?
It's true.
It's going to be a lot harder.
Yes.
It's going to take a lot longer.
Yes. Okay. Number one is to use a visual schedule for daily routine tasks. So that means a visual schedule for when mealtime is going to occur, when they are going to use the bathroom, when they should drink more water, when they should go outside, when they should sleep. Obviously, it's not going to be like set in stone. It might change every day depending on what you have going on. It doesn't have to be perfect, but just showing them that there is a regular routine to these different aspects of life is really good, especially mealtime, to have those regular meal times set so that they're not eating all day throughout the day and never feeling hungry because they don't allow themselves the chance to feel hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love visual schedules. Some of our favorite tools, I know we don't have this in here, but if you look on Amazon, there are tons of visual schedules. A lot of them, though, are like kind of geared towards younger kiddos. But honestly, you can just make one. Grab a laminator, either write or take pictures. BrainWorks from Sensational Brain is another option that has different pictures of routines. Figure out what is motivating for your child and go that route. But just, yeah, visual schedules.
Yep. Number two is primitive reflex integration, which is why we talked about primitive reflexes at the beginning of this episode. Primitive reflex integration, it is the foundation for higher level learning, higher level skill development, but also it really just lays the foundation for your body to work the way it was meant to work.
Mm-hmm. When those reflexes don't integrate or go away, we are stuck in those just lower cognitive abilities, like Jessica mentioned, and we don't want to be in that way. And in today's day and age, with the advancement of technology, with the advancement of marketing, baby products, babies aren't on the floor. They aren't working through those reflexes. They're not naturally just going through the patterns to let them integrate. And we go into more details in the course that we mentioned, but it's just so important.
Well, also, there's some research out there that suggests that if you have retained primitive reflexes, you are in a more heightened state of anxiety, more fight or flight, you know, more than you should be, which means that those, you know, those chemicals, those stress chemicals are being released constantly, which just puts you in a constant state of fight or flight. And that can really affect your ability to maintain, you know, what we call homeostasis, right? Where you're able to identify hunger cues, bathroom cues, regulate your emotions. All of that is related.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is research that connects the vestibular system to the interoceptive system. And so, again, with our primitive reflex integration, it impacts vestibular processing. It's all connected, okay?
It's all connected.
But if we have challenges with the vestibular system as well, the likelihood of having challenges with the interoceptive system improves also. So keep that in mind.
Number three is to use social stories. And we actually do have a free social story template. We will link that in the show notes so that you can download it and print it and use it. But we love social stories to help our kiddos understand what's going on and why, and then strategies. So understanding why all of these things are important. So understanding why it's important to, you know, eat breakfast, or why it's important to eat lunch or dinner and to, you know, keep your body fueled. Understand why it's important to use the bathroom at a regular time, or understand why it's important to drink water. And so social stories can be great to help teach them that.
And what's helpful about social stories is you can connect them to a feeling. So what happens when you don't eat lunch? Well, you start to feel a little faint. You start to feel a little dizzy. You start to feel grumpy. Your stomach rumbles. You might not have to go to the bathroom as much, so you're not cleansing your body. So really connecting those senses of interoception, like all of the different components of interoception, to emotions, feelings, and things like that.
Yeah. Going along with that, actually, is number four. So using emotional regulation programs. And we love the Zones of Regulation, the Just Right curriculum, and the Alert program. Those are three amazing ones that we love. And they are great tools to use to help children understand why they have certain emotions, how to help them learn strategies to regulate their emotions. And all of these programs teach that everyone feels these different feelings. None of them are bad. It's what you do with them that matters.
Mm-hmm. The tools of how to regulate your emotions once you feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. That's what's so important.
Yep. So check those out. We'll link them in the show notes.
Number five is mindfulness and yoga practices. So just really focusing on, as we're both like,
I know, I just took a deep breath.
You know, there's so much research that just backs stopping what you're doing and taking a couple deep breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth, smell the roses, blow out the candles is what we say in therapy. But there's so much research that shows how we're all just tightly wound so often. And if we just stop and take a couple deep breaths, it can significantly improve our mood, our emotions, mm-hmm. our behavior, our heart rate. And so teaching children this is an easy tool to have. I mean, I will have Trips, what, how old did he say he was?
How old is your child?
The months kill me, okay?
He's almost two.
He's 22 months, okay. So with Trip, if he's frustrated or if he's asking for help and he's really like, help me, I'll have him stop and take a deep breath and then try again. And it really helps. It makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So remember that.
Logan does the same thing. Yes. When he's frustrated or upset, you know, I'll just look him in the eyes and I'll take a deep breath and he'll imitate. And, you know, we've practiced it for many years. Logan's 8, you know, but you're starting it at, you know, less than 2 years old and you just are consistent with it. And I mean, I do it, you know, when I'm frustrated or upset, if I take a deep breath, it kind of helps me refocus and reframe and be like, okay, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe you could find some children's mindfulness yoga classes in your area that you could go to, or find virtual ones. YouTube is a great resource, you know, when used for these purposes. You could find some great videos on this to help teach your child, especially if they're motivated by the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I was also thinking just getting outside, you know, and doing deep breathing outside, doing the yoga outside.
Love it.
Okay.
So helpful.
I think that's it.
That's all five. That's what we have for you.
We will
so helpful.
Yep. We'll link everything in the show notes so you can check it all out. Let us know your thoughts on this topic.
When you're trying these activities, let us know. Tag us on Instagram. Send us a picture so we know that you're trying them and they're helping. And leave us a review on iTunes or just a review via Instagram. And let us know that you're loving these tools.
Yep. We're at All Things Sensory Podcast. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla.
If you want more information on anything mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get the show notes.
If you have any follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is @harkla_family or @allthingssensorypodcast. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us there.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla. Whether it's for one of our digital courses or one of our sensory swings, the discount code SENSORY will get you 10% off. That's SENSORY.
Head to harkla.co/sensory to use that discount code right now.
We are so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world. While we make every effort to share correct information, we're still learning.
We will double check all of our facts, but realize that medicine is a constantly changing science and art.
One doctor or therapist may have a different way of doing things from another.
We are simply presenting our views and opinions on how to address common sensory challenges, health-related difficulties, and what we have found to be beneficial that will be as evidence-based as possible.
By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or your child.
Consult your child's pediatrician or therapist for any medical issues that he or she may be having.
This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
Thanks so much for listening.